and the walls came tumbling down.
In the summer of 1998, I was visiting Brazil and met one day with one of its leading industrialists, Guilherme Freiring, chairman of the board of the giant Brazilian mining company, Caime Minhaqueo e Metalurgia. Freiring was describing for me the incredible changes in Brazil's economy over the previous decade, when in passing he made the following remark. He realized the Berlin Wall fell here too. It wasn't just a local event in Europe. It was a global event. It fell in Brazil. The big changes to the Brazilian economy happened at exactly the same time that the Berlin Wall fell. To illustrate his point, Guilherme cited this story. In November 1988, militant steelworkers went on strike at the government-controlled National Steel Company, known as CSN, in Volta Redonda, northwest of Rio de Janeiro. CSN is the largest steel plant in not just Brazil, but in all of South America. Some 2,500 angry Brazilian steelworkers took over the factory and demanded retroactive pay raises and reduced work hours from 8 hours to 6 hours a day. Clashes between the workers and local police eventually escalated to a point where the Brazilian army had to be called in. 3 steelworkers were killed and 36 wounded in the battle for control of the mill. The Brazilian army accused the workers of a veritable urban guerrilla warfare operation in which they used stones, Molotov cocktails, iron bars, and firearms to defend their state-provided jobs and benefits. During Brazil's 21-year military dictatorship, which only ended in 1985, Brazil's ruling generals had always been very sensitive about control of the huge steel mill, going so far as to declare Volta Redonda a town of, quote, national security, unquote, and having its mayors appointed by the government. After explaining all this to me, Freiring added this kicker. He said, roughly 4 years after that bloody strike, after the Berlin Wall had fallen, those very same CSN steelworkers were demanding that the mill be privatized because they understood that this was the only way it could remain competitive and keep most of them employed. Today, CSN is fully privatized and has been participating as a major shareholder in the privatization of other state-owned factories in Brazil. Freiring's remarks were like a light bulb turning on in my head. Of course he was right. The Berlin Wall didn't just fall in Berlin. It fell east and west, and north and south, and it hit both countries and companies, and hit them all at roughly the same time. We focused on the Berlin Wall's fall in the east because that was so dramatic and so palpable, a cement wall crumbling on the evening news. But in fact, similar, less palpable walls fell all over the world. And it is the fall of all those walls all over the world that made this era of globalization and integration possible. So this raises a very important question. What blew down all the walls? Or as my kids might ask me, Daddy, where did globalization come from? I would begin my answer like this. The Cold War world was like a broad plain, crisscrossed and divided up by fences, walls, ditches, and dead ends. It was impossible to go very far or very fast in that world without running into a Berlin Wall or an Iron Curtain or a Warsaw Pact or somebody's protective tariff or capital controls. And behind these fences and walls, countries could find a lot of places to hide and preserve their own unique forms of life, politics, economics, and culture. They could be in the First World, the Second World, or the Third World. They could have widely differing economic systems, a centrally planned communist economy, a welfare state economy, a socialist economy, or a free market economy. And they could maintain widely different political systems, anything from democracy to dictatorship to enlightened authoritarianism to monarchy or totalitarianism. And differences could remain sharp, black and white, because there were walls aplenty to protect them, and they were not easily penetrated.